Psalm 144. You know, as we talk about God's hand and God's blessings, He's so good to us, isn't He? And, you know, I'd ask you all to think about sharing your salvation testimony. When did you get saved? How did you get saved? It makes a difference. You know, when people hear your testimony and they know, you know, that it all happened the same way. We all got saved the same way. It might have been on the tailgate of a pickup or next to your bed at home or in the living room or at the table or at a friend's house or at work. Might have been at church or Sunday school, you know, but we all got saved the same way. We confessed our sin and asked God's forgiveness through Jesus. And He washed our sins away and saved our souls. And David, as he writes in Psalm 144, he just praises God. And I don't think we can... I think it's important for us not only to praise Him here, but to praise Him just in our time, just in your alone time with God. You praise God throughout the day. Every time something goes right, thank God, praise God. And that's what we should do. Look at what He says in verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, my strength. He is my strength. And you know, we talk about Brother Billy just on the go all the time. We could name others that just, they won't quit. And it is the strength of God. It is the energy of the Holy Spirit of God working in us and burdening us and showing us there's still much to do. I think of Caleb when he got there. He said, you know, I was 40 years old when we started this, and now it's 40 years later. But you know what? He said, give me this mountain. I still want what God's promised me. I haven't given up yet, and I'm willing to go fight for it. I'm willing to go do it. And I see that tenacity and that perseverance, and we need that in our lives, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. You know, and of course, as we age, we have more problems with our dexterity, but think about the miracle that our fingers are. Isn't that incredible? I mean, I see them play the piano and the keyboard, and it's amazing. Or guitar and all the things that we've done in our lives, whether it was mechanical or woodworking or whatever, but think about how that is the most fascinating thing, that God has given us 10 fingers and they work, you know, and how they work against each other and in sync with each other. And it's incredible. Everything else works great too, but it's the most obvious thing that we use so often. And it says, He teaches my hands. So we learn things and we grow and we expand our knowledge and our ability. Verse 2, He's my goodness and my fortress. Remember this, I and we have no goodness of our own. The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. The best we can do deserves to go in the trash. But by God's grace and by God's anointing, we're able to be good people. Our goodness is not of ourselves. It is of God. He has put that goodness in us. And He is my fortress, our protector. We have confidence in Him. We talked about not long ago how the prophet awoke one morning and his servant said, how shall we do? And he said, God, open his eyes. Let him see that beyond the armies of Syria is the army of God. And we'll be okay. It's no problem. We're going to be all right. And He is our fortress. He protects us from the outsiders. He is our high tower. And what is a high tower for? Well, a high tower helps us to see things afar off. And God gives us, by His Holy Spirit, He gives us that unction to anticipate things that might be in the future, things that are coming. And sometimes that brings a dread upon us and a fear upon us. I hope that when we preach about hell, that people will get a dread about them and understand that there is an eternal fire that burns. And it is the final resting place, if you could say that. It is the final destination of those who reject God. An eternal fire. And I would hope that as we say that, people would have a sense of doom and of terror and not wanting to go there, but wanting to go and live in the presence of God and be with Him forever. A high tower, and we can look off in the future. Guys, we can read the signs, can't we? We can see what's coming. We can tell certain things about the future. We talked about the other day how, what if God just gave us certain things, told us if you'll do this, everything will be all right. Well, He has. And by His Word, we can see that a certain pattern of living is going to be better for us, and a certain pattern of living is going to be worse for us. We know what's going to work and what's not going to work. We know how what God is going to bless and what He's not going to bless. He's my deliverer. God has brought us through all these things in our lives. He's our deliverer. He's my shield right now, not just in the future, not just in the past, but right now He's my shield. He's protecting me today. It says, "In He in whom I trust." As our lives will be so much better, our rest will be so much sweeter if we trust in Him. I think of Jesus in the back of the boat as the storm was blowing and the ship was tossed and they had to wake Him up. Why? Because He had confidence. He had trust. In fact, I even think of Jonah because the same thing happened to him, didn't it? He had learned to trust in God. He had learned to rest. Even when he was backslidden, he still had hope in God. Who subdueth my people under me. He gives them that authority. Gives them that command and presence. Verse 3. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Isn't it incredible that the Bible says the very hair on our head is numbered? God knows how much hair we have on our head. And it seems so insignificant to us. But that's how much God knows about us. That's how important every detail of our lives is to God. Of all the things God does, He knows us intimately. He knows us personally. God knows you. God knows me. He is our friend. He is our Father. He loves us. And yet, we look at verse 4, man is like vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Oh, life is short. It may not seem short as we're looking ahead, but when we're looking back, it seems very brief, doesn't it? It's like a shadow. And then it's gone. And yet, even though our lives are not, you know, so long here, God takes note of us. That's the explanation of verse 3. Verse 5, bow thy heavens, O Lord. Come down, touch the mountains, they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning, scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thy hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children whose mouths speak vanity. And their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. So in the midst of this, David cries out. He says, God, you're wonderful and you look over every part of my life. And yet, if we go back to the psalm before this in 143, in verse number 4, he says, therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart with me is desolate. He says, you know, there's such fear and such anxiety about what's going on around me that I'm lost. He's writing this to God. And yet he says there are times in his life where he's lost. He needs God. And he wonders, where is God? And he cries here, he prays to God, help me, deliver me. Take care of my enemies. What could cause a man to feel like that? Look at David's life. With his children, with his enemies, with Saul, with his son, with the relatives of Saul, losing the throne, the crown for a period of time, losing the confidence of the people. Having a wife, the daughter of Saul, who was a misery to him. There were times in his life where he felt empty and numb and he needed God. But he didn't quit God, he called out to God. And he says he's living in the midst of people whose right hand is a hand of falsehood. We're living in a time, you know, we talk about that in our day, right? We'll say, well, you know, there used to be a time where you could shake a man's hand and trust what he said. David said the same thing here. And yet, it seemed like we had a period of time in our lives where we could count on that. But David said, there's liars all about me. There are deceivers and betrayers all around me. A land of opposition and defeat. Look at verse 11. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children whose mouths speak vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. You can't trust them. It's come to a time, you know, even in studying for messages and in preparation for lessons, we have to be careful about our resources. Because not all resource, not everything you find is true. We have to be careful. Make sure that we're not teaching or repeating something that's false, because that's what's around us. Look at verse 9. I will sing a new song unto thee. O God, upon a psaltery, an instrument of 10 strings, will I sing praises unto thee. You see, even in the midst of our struggles, he finds a way to praise God. I think of those musicians and the people in Babylon said, play us one of those songs. The Bible says they were so broken that they hung their harps on the willows. And yet they said, woe is me if my tongue be stuck to the top of my mouth if I don't sing about my land of Israel. You know, we've got to, in our stress and our anxiety, sometimes we want to quit. We want to give up. We just want to lay down and die. And yet, we have to find a way to continue. We have to find a way to keep going. Find a way to give God praise. Find a way to keep praying and hoping in God. That's what David's doing here. In verse 12, he says, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. What's he saying? He's saying somebody's got to be a good example for these children. You know, they've got to see that God's way works. They've got to see that there is integrity, that there is honesty, that there is truth, that following God is the way. They've seen enough people that betrayed them and broke their hearts and disappointed them. We've got to lead, and we've got to show these young people that this is the way. Go in it so that they may be strong and faithful men, and that they may be beautiful and faithful women. Verse 13, that our garners may be full. His prayer is that there won't be any need. Affording all manner of store, not only for today, but for the future, where there's no worry. You know, we've seen as we examine that people have a certain level in life, and until they've gotten their basic needs met, there's just anxiety all the time. But once their basic needs are met, there's a level of happiness and satisfaction. And then, of course, we advance into being more prosperous and more of a blessing to others when we stop just taking it in and start giving it to others. And that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets. Is it for him? No, it's for his people. He just wants his people to have what they need. And that's the way it should be for us. We just want to be a blessing to others. We want others to be blessed. We don't want anybody suffering. We don't want anybody begging. We want everybody to have what they need. Verse 14, that our oxen may be strong to labor. Now look at that, and I think not only, you know, he's referencing oxen, but he's not. It's more than that. I think of Brother Ronnie. And I asked the other day about a hammer. I think must have been at camp, because I knew Brother Ronnie doesn't have one of those anymore. He has a nail gun. He still has a hammer. It's just for decoration, but he has one. But you know, that's the thing. That's what David's talking about. David's talking about having the tools that are effective. Oxen that are strong. You know, you get a weak oxen out there, he's not going to be able to do the job. He's going to wear out too soon. But now you get a good one, he can get the job done. And when it comes to church, you know, we want our tools to be effective. We want to be effective in ministry. As each of us go out and about, we want to be effective in ministry. We want souls to be saved. We want lives to be changed. We want people to see the hope in us. We want people to look to God and praise and hope in him, put their trust in him. There be no breaking in nor going out. Look at verse 14, that last phrase. Boy, wouldn't that be wonderful? That there be no complaining in our streets. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was nothing to complain about? How many of you can think of something right now that you could complain about? Of course. But wouldn't that be a wonderful life? And that's what David is praying for. God, what if we just had a life where there was nothing to complain about? Here's my question. Is there something to complain about, or are we looking for something to complain about? And I find that sometimes there is, and sometimes we search. We find something to complain about like it's gold. We'll dig until we find it. We've got, that there be no complaint in our streets. What is David painting? He's painting us a beautiful picture of an ideal world where people praise God. They have everything they need. They have the tools to get the job done. Their family's blessed. They have goods in store for the future. And there's no complaining. Look at how he finishes in verse 15. Happy is that people. You know, we could have sung tonight, Count Your Blessings. Because while I said, are there things to complain about? And we could look for something to complain about. But what if we counted our blessings? Man, first off, we live in this country. Isn't that wonderful? We were born in this country. That's an advantage right there. To be born here and to grow up in this country and to remain in this wonderful free land. We just celebrated the birthday of America. Yeah, there are things to complain about. But would you want to live anywhere else? I mean, I got a tropical island paradise I've told you about over and over again. But what a wonderful country. We're blessed and highly favored. You know, God's been good to us. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Hey, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Everything here is temporary, except our salvation, our souls. We're going to leave it all behind. It's all temporary. Our problems are temporary. Our burdens are temporary. But God's got eternity waiting for those of us who put our faith in Him. And He loves us and He's been good to us. And Psalm 33:12 says, Blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. The people whom He hath chosen for His inheritance. And we start to count our blessings right down to our fingers. Of all that God has done in our bodies, in our minds, in our lives, we can count our blessings. God, we love You. We thank You for Jesus and for our salvation. We thank You for loving us and forgiving us and the design, God, You've made us. And it's incredible how as much as we've done and even as we advance in life, we're still very capable because You've been so wise in Your creation and Your design. God, help us to count our blessings, to see the good in all things, to see Your hand and Your heart in our lives. God, we know there are burdens just as David expressed, worry and heartache and numbness. And God, I pray that You will put the light back, the life back, where it has dimmed, where we have fallen. Forgive us our sins, dismiss us with Your grace. Bring us back again, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.